Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome to the SmackDown preview. I'm Adam Wilborn from What Culture, joined by another one of the Dudley boys, Michael Huffer from What Culture, to look ahead to tonight's episode of Friday Night SmackDown. But before we get into it, if you're a fan of this sort of thing, make sure you subscribe to What Culture Wrestling on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, and YouTube. We do daily wrestling podcasts where we not only review SmackDown, but also Monday Night Raw, the show formerly known as NXT 2.0. AEW Dynamite, AEW Collision, pay-per-views, premium live events. We have interviews, roundtable discussions, and a round of the week complete with a Money Quiz, of course, on Wrestle Culture. As I said, they're joined by a handful to look ahead to SmackDown tonight, which looks set, Michael, to be another episode, which will be... I might have to stay up for this one.
Oh, God. Last midnight smackers, isn't it, of this current...
I think next week we might be able to. I think it's Easter Saturday they go spring forward. Forward.
Are you telling me that CM Punk's return to Chicago starts at f***ing midnight?
It might do, actually.
Oh, my God. I'm already on the sort of...
Hypest hype.
Hypest of hypes, not just for everything happening this WrestleMania season. Not Jason Status this week, but you know, some almost as good. I'll get into that because God forbid we talk about SmackDown for the first 10 minutes of this podcast. We've just been watching WWE/WrestleMania adjacent hype videos.
Yeah.
And at this time of year, there's pretty much nothing. It's like I'm a wind-up kid's toy. You play one of them, and it's like, right, Hamlet, you're ready to record. And I'm just sat like a wind-up Tigger teddy bear where the tail's been sprung as tight as it goes. Ready to like burst through the ceiling of the studio. Will, I'm just so excited about everything right now.
Yeah.
We're recording this. A bit of a sort of... hurried pace of a Friday morning, a bit earlier than we typically normally would.
Thank you to the What Culture Gaming lads.
Indeed, legends that they are. And because they have the studio decked out in a beautiful blue, which always makes you feel SmackDown.
Yeah.
Like, anyway. Yeah, I'm on a half day today. I'm meeting up with old school friends for a very last minute, but like much needed night and day on the drink. So I'll be in my old alma mater of Scarborough. And what's great as an adult, I've reached that age at 38, nearly 39. I left home at 18 and that was that. I never like went back basically. Mm-hmm. And then for years and years and years, you don't really appreciate maybe the place you grew up in. You kind of grow up to think nothing of it, to be honest. And then it comes all the way back around. I'm pleased to say this to anybody that might have done the same, like who's listening now that has gone away. Let me tell you, again, to keep it WrestleMania, when you're coming home, tell the world you're coming home, because you see and catch up with some of like your old mates and you go to some of your old haunts and like it's perfect how they're just the right amount of the same and just the right amount of different.
Yes.
So you get that feeling, that like that sort of intangible emotional resonance mixed with, oh, that's changed. And like it's in every building around the corner. Oh, I remember that. Oh, that's changed. It's like everything's cool.
Thankfully, Chesterfield, none of that's changed. But well, so exactly the same.
And I'm being complimentary about Filey and Scarborough here. Love both places. That's very much the case. But I love when you see a different, used to be a cake shop or whatever. Yeah. Like it's, oh God, what a feeling it is.
Are you driving? You training? What are you doing?
Megabus today to connect with a friend in Manchester who is going to drive us across the Pennines from Lancashire to Yorkshire.
Oh, well, so, please promise me when you get out of the car in beautiful Scarborough, you'll say, finally, Michael Hebblin has come back home.
I certainly will do.
It's going to be in me in a month's time. Fingers crossed, touch wood, to celebrate Chesterfield winning the title, which we could do this weekend.
Yes, from this blue brand to your blue brand. We could have been toasting it this week, but that's okay. There's more lore attached to the game this weekend. Masterful, tell the listeners.
Masterful gambit, Paul Cook, deliberately losing when playing away from home midweek.
And explain to the listeners that may not know the drama at play this Saturday, particularly with the opposition.
So, my beloved Chesterfield, the Spireites, who pretty much ever since I've worked at What Culture have been on a downward spiral.
Yeah.
Finally, after all the playoff heartbreak of recent years, could win...
And Wrexham, rigging football.
How good.
There's no romance that Netflix documentary whatsoever.
Love to Andrew Pollard regardless.
Love to Pollard and Pollard alone.
Yes. after many, many years in the doldrums, I think it's fair to say, it's been fun, but I cannot wait to get out of this league.
It's time to leave.
We've got a month left of the season, but a point at the weekend and we win the title. We could even potentially lose... Mm-hmm. And if Barnet don't secure all 3 points with whoever they're playing against, I haven't paid any attention to that. Why bother? we will win the title. Mm-hmm. We are playing Boreham Wood, and, you know, the lovely team. Mm-hmm. But they have got, playing for them, one of my favourite former Chesterfield players.
Yep.
Kabongo Shimanga.
Yes.
Wake me up. Before you go, go, who needs mercy when you've got Kabongo?
Hey.
He was lethal for us a few seasons back. Then he suffered a horrific injury. Then we sold him for a decent amount of cash. And he never really, you know, cut it in the higher leagues.
Did he get a notable goal, either for Chesterfield or some other team, on the telly of recent times?
He scored a penalty in that shootout against Chef Wednesday.
What I'm thinking of, yeah.
Because I was watching that.
Cup shootout, wasn't
and
it?
And I thought, oh, don't let him miss. Yeah. And he didn't because he's class. Mm. But it's very much, here's what you could have won, Kabongo.
Yeah.
Different scenario, etc. Now we've got Will Grigg, and I've been reliably informed he's on fire.
Should be for somebody because he never was for us.
Although he might be injured following a midweek game. Regardless.
I looked at the scorer statistics on the BBC National League website, and it speaks to the National League that sometimes the BBC web team are allowed to be asleep on the job.
Yeah, they don't bother without.
No. If you go to the top scorers table, you'll know this already because you'll check regularly. I thought I want to see what Will Grigg's return was. What? 100% of all shots converted?
Nope.
No. That's everybody in the table.
Yeah.
Apparently every top scorer in the National League has scored 100%. That's like better than Wayne Gretzky's.
Yes.
Like, well, you score 100% of the shots you take.
100% goal conversion, 100% shot accuracy for every single person in this list. Will Grigg is second, 25 goals this season.
Good return.
Unbelievable signing. Number one, Paul McCallum, who played for who last season?
Oh, Wrexham.
Chesterfield.
Oh, right.
So hopefully we'll just sign him when we go up. But yes, we are playing.
Brian, a challenge for you, should you wish to undertake it, and you really don't have to. The work you do for this podcast, frankly, is harder than ours. Me and Wilborn in Chesterfield shirts on or off a megabus near Scarborough in England would be your latest sort of challenge, your Crystal Maze type instruction, should you wish to take it. But we understand if you don't.
Barnet are playing... I think it's fair to say one of the banter teams of the National League. Dorking? You seen this? You heard about this?
No.
They're the one who often like pop up on YouTube clips because their manager's quite active with social media, etc.
Right.
There's like a documentary crew and what have you. Mm. I've got a little bit of a soft spot for Dorking.
Okay.
But yes, Boreham Wood, 20th in the league. If you doubled the amount of points they've got this season, you still wouldn't have the amount we have.
That's quite something.
92 we have. They're on 44. We are 3 goals away from scoring 100 goals in the National League this season.
God.
21 points clear. So, yeah, a win, a point, anything. And we're on telly if anyone wants to watch TNT Sports 3 at 3 o'clock on Saturday afternoon. I know I will. I know Eric will be forced to as well. And Anne-Louise, very smartly, has gone for a boozy brunch with some of her NCT mates.
I think, well, I'll be in the pub at that time, so I think I'm going to be the one to bravely request it go on the telly.
Excuse me, mate, can we have the football on? Not that one. Not that one either.
Yeah, like, lad, you're a bit early for England-Brazil, aren't you? No. We're right on time for Chesterfield, thanks very much. I wonder, like... to sort of open this net a bit wider to the people that haven't yet switched this podcast off, I wonder where this conversation ranks in the league table, while we're talking leagues, of all the various like off kilter, what's the word I'm chasing? I can't think of diversions that we go on.
Yes,
of a Friday
tangents.
Tangents. Thank you. You should be a writer.
Definitely.
I can't be one anymore.
I did it for a bit. I was rubbish.
There is a. I want so much to apologise for whoever tweeted us this because it was a couple of weeks ago, and my likes get filled with so much stuff that I need to go back and check it. Please tweet us this again. The tangent. Image.
Oh,
the collection
yes.
of all the tangents. The ongoing collection of tangents. Do you think you've got that one to hand?
I might have it liked. I'll look it up in a minute. Yeah.
But this one, I think I'm pretty sure there's a Chesterfield badge already on it. But if
or at least very the least Chester the Field Mouse, yeah.
Yeah, if you want to find Welcome to Scarborough as a town sign or something like that, by all means tie it on. But yeah, I wonder where this one ranks for people at this point. Like, let us know in the reply. We're very, very appreciative of the engagement we get in this podcast specifically. Who is it?
You got Jay Fraser. That
Jay
one.
Fraser. I love this. I love this. Jay and, like, you know how Panda Blair and Jose Palomares yes. are in charge of the...
data.
When it comes to Ladies Night and Dynamite. I think at this point, Brian and Jay
yeah.
are very much our kind of arbiters of SmackDown nonsense. And I couldn't be more grateful. Both SmackDown correspondents in their own unique way.
Indeed.
And I just love what a cacophony of... Let's be realistic about this. Dated cultural references that we get to alongside, arm in arm with our SmackDown coverage.
But we do introduce people to the right things. A lot of people have been tweeting us how goated the Traitors is, for example.
Yeah. What else off that list on that, like, that sort of
I think we've really
murderer's row of party guests?
I'm proud of introducing people to Gladiators.
Yep.
Again, reintroducing, mm-hmm. I should say.
Indeed.
And it pops me when I see... the National Lottery machines was
that really got us that week, didn't it?
Yeah.
More of a Guinevere fan myself. And here's the thing. I love the lore of this. For those... I recap this a lot, I feel, at this point, but I always feel like it's worth saying. Let it be known that myself and Wilborn took to talking about anything other than SmackDown in every respect, the darkest time to be previewing yes. SmackDown. I was yes. waiting for my chips to come. It was the only highlight of a Friday morning from our separate living rooms.
Mm-hmm.
We all remember, we're going back 4 years now, thankfully, and let it one day feel like, you know, it never even happened. But it's still recent enough, I think, to recall. You know, everybody having to work from home if they couldn't go into their offices, whatever. Still a bit scared, still a bit nervy.
Yeah.
Previewing PC SmackDowns where Retribution might change all the ropes, previewing Thunderdome SmackDowns where Bayley might supplant a face across 100 screens. It was...
Keeping our fingers crossed that they weren't going to mess up Sasha and Bayley for a while.
Yeah, just desperate for anything, one thing to be good. It was miserable. It was absolutely miserable. And I remember you would send me the lineup. Oh, what's on the docket today? We'll burn off all again, I see. So we're going to have to go on a diversion just to try and entertain the listeners as well as ourselves.
Before, get to a mid-roll, lad.
Before the chips arrive. And I love how the diversions have remained, but the rationale has changed.
Yes, you can have your chips and eat them too.
Yeah, indeed you can, right? And they never get pissed on, like no. all the best chips. Because now the diversion is born out of, the tangents are born out of sheer bloody excitement.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's like, well, what are you doing this weekend? Well, I'm doing A, B, and C. Well, what's at the front of your brain right now? Well, A, B, and C. And why is all that? Because if I just spend all my time thinking about SmackDown, I'd get nothing done. It's another white, hot, blue brand.
It's buzzing right now.
I cannot wait.
I also really like the randomness of, without these tangents, I wouldn't have spoken to the lovely Lee Pickering, commercial director of Leangate Valves.
Leangate Valves, Lee Pickering.
Sponsored my beloved Chesterfield.
Yeah.
And Lee, I hope you're enjoying the Spireite season. And hey, if you've got any spare tickets for our final game of the season, get in touch. I'll come and sit in the Leangate Valves box if you want.
If you've got a Leangate Valve, like if you've got like Mr. Valve,
yeah.
I'll wear the Mr. Valve mascot thing for a photo opportunity. We can go down.
We'll come along for the final day of the season, April 20th.
I Maidenhead would United. Be absolutely up for that, Lee.
Already going out in town regardless of whether or not I can get a ticket.
If you're listening and you want to make this out, get me a... I Heart Leangate Valves shirt, and I'll wear it out for my first ever night in Chesterfield, gladly, smile on my face. Large, if it's in white, and extra large.
Yes, this post-mail, we're going to go hog wild over in Philly. But I've got some good news and some bad news regarding tonight's SmackDown.
Yeah,
I'm going to have the bad news is no Dwayne The Rock Johnson. So, severe lack of manner on this show, coming from him at least.
Unless he drops in on socials later.
He's going to Instagram videos, some effing and jeffing on there.
Yeah.
But instead, trade offer.
Yes.
You don't get that. but you do get the two men who are going to be in the main event of night two for the world title. I'm talking Roman Reigns. I'm talking Cody Rhodes, face to face. And a bit like me when I was a teenager, they're coming alone.
They are. We've been here before, have we not, Wilborn? Not, we've talked about you doing that.
Yeah, well, we have
been
that
there plenty
well, yeah.
of times, yeah. But I want to highlight one big difference from this time 12 months ago when we were revving up for a face-off between these two men. We go again. This does not slip. Listen, Matt. I'll kick you in the ass. You're going to go down.
Why like, reference that?
You're going to go down like Gerard at WrestleMania.
Oh,
he's
no.
He's a trash. This does not slip. This time last year, we were just as hyped, just as fired up, just as excited for Roman Reigns and Cody Rhodes. It kind of slipped. Roman kind of treated him like a garbage person. We were like, that's good, that, because he's masking his arrogance so when he gets beat at WrestleMania. Like, it turns out he was right. Oh, no. this is the one thing we didn't want to happen.
Who beats him now?
Now, it's a lovely reversal. This time, he's treating him like a garbage person out of sheer bloody-minded arrogance, isn't he? Solo and Jimmy may not be there. They may be. They're not men of their word, the Bloodline, unlike Cody, who is. I believe that the babyfaces will do as Cody requested on Raw and leave him to
yes.
it, I think.
Kevin Owens is still in the back,
perhaps,
just in case.
That's, yeah, good point. Perhaps bringing into question on Monday Seth Rollins, I don't know, pedigree as Cody's shield. He's doing what he asked, but had he been there, maybe, who knows? There might be an attack. But the point is, the content of the promo back and forth, the tete-a-tete last year between the two was very much Roman leaning, wasn't it? It was very
You ever
much...
won one of these before?
Yeah.
You ever been in a main event of Mania before?
I've been in
loads. Because I've done all of that. Oh!
And it was a bit like, man, yeah, they're doing this on, they are stacking the deck. Cody Rhodes has got to decimate the biggest and most powerful version of Roman Reigns, and he didn't.
In 13 months.
In 13 months, and here we are. We are 13 months on and we are still here. Cody's promos of late have just been unreal, and like, consider the stakes and how high they've been, because not only have you got two matches to promote, you've got to clap back The Rock once a week.
Yeah.
You've got to draw in some people that I think are kind of, the cynicism is understood, but I think a lot of people will just never really buy Seth Rollins at this particular table, and Cody Rhodes has been sent out there to like make sure that Seth feels part of it, and I think he's been super successful personally at that. I know Seth's more of a subjective one. He's in the form of his life. He had a lot of difficult material to navigate on Monday that I thought he did a wonderful job of. He cried over like that unbelievable line about not being able to hand it to his dad, but it isn't going to stop him handing it to his mom, and how that's fed into everything that The Rock's hit back with. Does Roman Reigns tonight? And we know he can act. We know he can. We know he can, with the flaring of a nostril or ripple of a lip, say a thousand things in just a look. Right,
this jaw thing. That I really like.
Does he tonight go 2022/2023? Get the hell out of there, Sami Zayn. Or, and I think this might be what happens. Does he double down on like being a bit of a geek, as he did the last time all four were in the ring, to show the requisite amount of ass for Cody to be like, not again, mate. Like, it's not Rubber Chicken 2. Like, my head is on a swivel because the last time it wasn't, your cousin put a thumb through my neck. I'm not scared of The Rock. I'm not scared of the Bloodline. I'm not scared of the stage. And I'm not scared of you. Is this the... Could this not be any more of a contrast to last year's, where it is, in fact, Roman who is, for the first time, looking small in the shadow of Cody, and that requires The Rock, in his last appearance at that Brooklyn Raw in a week and a half's time, to be like, well, your mana levels are at 100, right, Roman?
Yes.
Because we've got a pretty big tag on night one, and I don't know if you were there, I acknowledged you. So what are we doing here?
Yeah.
Like, is this the night where it all flips and you see for the first time the doubt not in Cody? Do you remember their face-off when him and Jay were the tag champions? And Cody's acting.
Yeah.
Cody's acting, and that was like, oh God, I'm not sure I'm ready for this. He's ready.
Yes.
He's ready now. And I want to see, whether it be in words, actions, or facials, I want to see for the first time Cody stare down Roman as if the belt has already changed hands. It's that, like, Ferguson Keegan thing, or that Ferguson Wenger thing, to use like sort of footballing references yet more that people might not understand, where just one has proven without a shadow of a doubt that they are in it to win it and the other person doesn't stand a chance.
I really like that. Because I know some people have been saying, has the whole Rock thing overshadowed, you know, the title match on night two? I disagree. I think they would just kind of be covering old ground had they had however many weeks after the Chamber or whatever, even after the Rumble. I think they would kind of probably run out of steam somewhat in terms of, oh, you're going to have to face Solo, you're going to fight Jimmy or whatever.
Who knows if Roman would have even been around as much.
Yeah, exactly. And I like the idea that Cody Rhodes, because the way I'm booking it is Bloodline win night one, spoiler alert, everyone. Mm-hmm. But you want Cody to emphasise, if I win night one, if me and Seth beat the Killers in the Jungle, as they're called, you're all alone, just like you are right now. And you know, deep down inside, when it's one-on-one against me, or half the people you faced winning that title, you can't get the job done.
Love it.
And Roman's just going to say, you know, history's going to repeat itself or what have you. And I think Roman, he's got to be in his own inimitable style, showcasing the fact that I'm the best, I'm the champ, I've got this unbelievable record reign, but that mask's going to slip and he's worried and he's going to try and get an edge on Cody. Maybe even he attacks him because he says, I don't need the rest of the Bloodline to beat you down. There could be a surprise appearance from someone who's, because it's not the Bloodline people, that's all that's been promised.
Yeah.
So he could have paid off, I don't know they're in action already, but Theory and Waller or some pretty deadly. Yes, boy.
That's so funny.
In terms of like getting...
The Paul Heyman has had to like, on a last minute sort of, anybody want to help Bloodline?
Or he goes to beat down Cody all on his own, because he can still do that. He can still break a chair over his back or whatever.
Yep.
And Cody crawls the corner after being jumped, you know, after he turned his back or whatever, because you have to be somewhat of an idiot when you're a babyface. Crawls over to the microphone and says, I said I'd come alone, and I have, for the most part, Roman. There's no Sami Zayn. There's no Jey Uso. There's no Seth Rollins. But there is man's best friend. And the big dog gets attacked by the big dog. I'm talking about Pharaoh.
Oh, my God. I mean, I would be horrified at that. Yeah, like a dog attack in a wrestling setting would scare me more than Jake Roberts setting a cobra on Randy Savage. It'd be like, it's too relatable and too real. I don't need that. I got one more pitch for you.
Go on.
I've got one more pitch for you. We talked about people coming alone.
Mm-hmm.
Not you. Roman and Cody. And Paul Heyman said he would be there.
Yes.
And that was part of the deal. But there they are in the ring. But we're forgetting somebody. You need somebody to preside over a situation so serious. Somebody of great authority, don't you?
Mm.
You need, a general manager. Not just anyone. The SmackDown general manager. I can't remember his name. Stay tuned. And he stood there, middle of the ring. He's just stepping back. His two mighty warlords exchanging words, all this sort of thing. And then at one point, Cody says, tonight's not the night for violence. I know that.
Mm-hmm.
That's WrestleMania. You'd like us to get physical tonight because you like to think that you can have the edge over me, but there is no edge over me anymore, Roman. There is no way, whether it be physically, mentally, emotionally, that you can get to me. I've spent the last year getting to me. There's nothing you can do that will speak louder than my own inner thoughts. And, you know, SmackDown General Manager just stand there listening, and he says, and Cody just says, and believe me, and I can think of somebody that knows this firsthand, when you are facing me in the clinch, you do not stand a chance of keeping your world heavyweight title. Ooh. And SmackDown general manager sort of nods sagely. He knows that. He's been through that. And like Cody just sort of shoots him like a knowing, it's out of mutual respect, you know, like a knowing glance, that kind of like nudge and a wink or whatever. And then Roman is sort of rattled and backs off. Because like, I'm not going to hit you. And Roman, I don't think you're going to hit me. And he's done sort of what he thinks is his mic drop or whatever. And Roman backs up and he's sort of left to think of anything. And SmackDown General Manager might even have his arm in a sling on account of the surgery he's just come out of. Get well soon. And then Roman rears back and hits SmackDown General Manager with a Superman punch. We know there's already distaste between the two sides. And he's just making a point of being like, that loser's the last one you took the title off. Who the hell do you think you're talking to? You're not dealing with him. You're dealing with me. And like, you've got Cody looking out for the SmackDown GM, can't remember his name, like, sort of, I'm sorry I dragged you into this sort of thing. He's taking a shot to the face. Roman has crossed that line of physicality with the SmackDown GM for the first time.
And then he grabs the microphone, not to step on her own dick for a little bit later, grabs the microphone and says, Cody, when the killers in the jungle beat you and that clown emoji that you're walking around with on night one, you're going to have to deal with all this, points to himself, and so much more.
Oh, my God.
Music hits. Barcode comes up and there's never a SmackDown ever again.
Because it's peak.
It's the season finale of a 25-year television institution. And they're like, yeah, we've done it.
Well, we completed it, lads. See you later.
Yeah, shut the place down.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact? You can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Now, I assume you and
we're not topping that.
I assume we're booking that for the main event. I know they've had The Rock open the show, but that feels like, stick around.
And, like, let's be real. Like, I love him. We talked about this ad nauseum over the last couple of weeks. I kind of trust him to keep to the time of it more than old Dwayne.
Yeah. But that's not the only thing on this show. Right. There is a huge grudge match that is set to take place tonight. I'm talking about Rey Mysterio versus Santos Escobar.
Mm-hmm.
Months gone into this, of course, Rey's injury, the LWO, the Legado del Fantasma lads, and ladies. But I've seen some pictures on social media recently, some really good ideas that people have been coming up with about a multi-man match involving the LWO and Legado del Fantasma.
Yeah.
And it's stuff I haven't really considered before. Other than when we mention it every single week on this goddamn podcast. Where's our respect, in the words of Michael Sidgwick?
Yeah. Do you remember when we pitched this all back in September?
Yeah. But you sense we're not getting a resolution here, are we? This goes to Mania.
So SmackDown GM, I still can't remember his name. Get well soon from your real injury and the one that Roman Reigns puts on you tonight. Has decreed that there will be no interference on either side. The idea that this match, it doesn't outright say there must be a winner, but he's saying there's going to be no more help. I think obviously what we've seen is that Santos is now reliant on it, whereas Rey Mysterio has been sort of desperate to get them one-on-one setting, and we've got it, right? As we thought when this match was announced last week, this has to lead to the multi-man at WrestleMania, and they have to know that either...
You've got too many one-on-one matches, not too many, but you've got... more than enough grudge one-on-one matches for Mania, right?
Yeah, they have to know there's fun to be had here. Like, you either do... I don't know if... Maybe you do get a finish tonight, by the way. Maybe you do. Maybe... what is going on in here?
I never know, man.
So the LWO and the Legados have been banned from ringside, right?
Mm-hmm.
Kind of redoing the spot here. That doesn't stop everybody from being banned from ringside, does it?
Are you telling me there might be more than one Mysterio involved in this match?
Indeed I am. What if tonight is the night, as we have sort of speculated, that the folding in of the Judgment Day B team, Dirty Dom and Old Brickheed, I know it takes one to know one, finally make their way to SmackDown. They are the difference makers and they either cost Ray the match or they just lead a beatdown. Something along those lines. And the SmackDown GM has been a little bit wrong-footed by this. There was a situation, was there not, where Adam Pearce was on the phone to him, quite cross that the Bloodline had infiltrated Raw on Monday. Mm-hmm. This is like a reversal of that.
Yeah.
people in glass houses shouldn't throw stone posts in the piers. Your guys are just showing up.
Yeah.
What's the deal? Right? So, and then they're both like, well, there's some witnesses and everyone can go over. So yeah, they've turned up, either cost Ray the match or they've just led a beat down, that kind of thing. And SmackDown GM's, like, either this week or next, very much like, that wasn't a point, lads. Mm. I wanted to pay off it. Like, Ray wanted his retribution. Santos was supposedly going to prove himself. We were going to have it. So they'd have the match, they have the running, they have the interference. And he's like, look, if you're so obsessed with each other's business, it's either going to be, I mean, like, just like spin a wheel at this point. You either do a multi-man match featuring Dirty Dom plus the Legados versus the LWO. We fold in Bad Bunny. You've been listening to this podcast for 6 months where we've said all of these names. You know who we're on about. You either make them lumberjacks in a singles match where there's no DQ. You either make a weapons brawl, an anarchy in the arena, stadium stampede adjacent, just 5-on-5 chaos weapons match. There can be only one team that prevails, whatever. Just step it up, make it fun, keep it daft, and include all the other moving parts. And then next Monday, but whose side is Andrade on?
Ooh.
Becomes a lingering question heading into the granddaddy of them all.
I really like the idea.
The deadbeat daddy of them all.
I really like the idea of JD McDonagh trying to disguise who he is wearing a Rey Mysterio mask. Because you could see him a bloody mile off.
If he was designing a Rey Mysterio mask, he'd have to make a shoebox. It'd be like a Blue Peter project, wouldn't it? Just cut some eye holes in it.
So let's work this out. So on one side, I'm trying to do the maths on
Let's keep it neat. I don't think you can go higher than five.
Okay, so we have Rey.
Yep.
Cruz del Toro.
Yep.
Joaquin Wilde.
Yep.
Zelina.
Yep.
Carlito, for the time being. But I'm just saying in terms of divvying it up. Santos.
Yep.
Angel Humberto. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Electra Lopez.
Yeah. Dirty Dom.
Dirty Dom.
Yeah.
No offense, but I'd get rid of Carlito.
He's gay.
Replace him with Bad Bunny.
I mean, you're spitting in the face of somebody that, like, doesn't want to be cool.
You have Bad Bunny versus Carlito down the road.
You could indeed. They came together in the LWO on the same night of Backlash last year. Lord.
Do bunnies like apples?
Don't know, but that feels like a secondary contender for Brian. I bet they do. I bet there's a Bugs Bunny where he's eating an apple.
Yeah.
Like, and then he's, and then who's the lad that wants to always shoot him? Elmer Fudd.
Yeah.
I'm going to get that wabbit. He's eating my apples.
Yes. I've got a
Bugs Bunny. There's carrots in there. Bugs Bunny and an apple advert.
Oh, no. Bugs Bunny and the big red apples.
There we go.
Bad Bunny and the big red apples.
Perfect.
Job done.
So we've set up WrestleMania on Backlash.
Yes.
You are welcome, WWE. Tick, tick, and mother tick.
Yes. Yeah, it's going to be chaos, this.
I think I want the multi-man, but I also don't mind the singles, lumberjack, no-holds-barred mess about match as an alternative as well.
And to feed into that, of course, you could set that up with the you got the Mania qualifiers for the tag match because Legado del Fantasma have got the match presumably next week against...
Bait and Done. The new Catch Republic.
No quarter catch crew, thank you. not talking to you, love. To see who qualifies for the tag six pack challenge thing.
It's a bit hard, isn't it? Yeah.
There's also qualifiers tonight.
Yeah.
The winners of this will go off to face each other, of course. Mm-hmm. And it is the OC. You're doing stuff on NXT.
Yeah.
Versus A-Tan, Dan Ander.
Mm-hmm.
And in the other match... What could possibly go wrong here? Street Profits versus AOP.
What are we doing here? Like, Street Profits and AOP, as an extension of this Last Street Kids Mega Glove feud that has been not good, right, ever.
No.
Let's be real.
Peaked when we came up with the names.
It did. The stable war, if you want to do it, is... Not really. I mean, it's gasping for air in terms of
making the Mania card for me.
I don't think so.
I'm booking it.
Yeah, it's probably going on that SmackDown Go Home, WrestleMania SmackDown, whatever they call it.
Just do it in the Andre.
So do they just put the baby faces over because it's nice, or do you put AOP over to keep them strong to have them go into this qualifying final? This side of the bracket.
Does it even get a result?
And then they both go out because of the brawl, meaning that A-Town Down Under beat the OC and get a bye. I like it, Wilborn.
We put a baby, I'm on a roll.
That is good because they've got nothing to do now because the Logan Paul three-way has been set. Mm-hmm. Fantastic booking. Let's go. Logan Paul.
Or they have to face the Creed brothers, and the Creed brothers just go in there instead because they're mint.
Even better booking. A-Town Down Under get the golden ticket all the way to WrestleMania tonight by defeating the OC, and the OC are like,
Wolf
well,
Dog's costume?
Oh, yes. I mean, why not? Actually, no, because they're not. Like the OC have been like, we're going to win the belts, but they've not outright said, we don't like you, the Wolf Dogs. They're just like, we're here to kick ass. So, like, if the OC attack them first, it's a bit like they're scared of fighting them.
Maybe they get, maybe, like, Corbin and Breaker are just at ringside and they get into it with them.
Yeah. Triple H likes that.
Yeah.
Yeah, a bit of, so like, argy-bargy.
Both been on Smackers, haven't they, obviously? Yep.
So I think the LWO Legado del Fantasma Fued spills over into this one. They cost them against the OC. Have I got that right? Yeah.
Mm.
And then that leaves a free path for... Have I got that right? Why can't I get my head around this? The OC versus A-Town Down Under.
Yeah. Who's the baby faces?
Yeah, there's none. So they win that match.
Free. Bad news, guys. For whatever reason. Just get the Creed brothers in that match. I don't care.
I am getting confused. So OC... No, let me start again. Street Profits and AOP.
Mm-hmm.
Qualifier.
Mm-hmm.
Over there. A-Town Down Under. A-Town Down Under and OC.
Mm-hmm.
Also a qualifier. Winners fight each other.
As far as I'm aware, I'll swear that I read somewhere that...
Oh, yeah. Sorry, an LWO. It's Legado's versus Dunn and Bate
mm-hmm.
on next week's show. You've got two finals that are going to take place next week.
I don't know why they have to do two lots of qualifiers on SmackDown and only one on Raw.
That's what's really thrown me, but yes, I've got it now. Sorry, everybody. Sorry.
We've still got to book the Creed Brothers in there one way or another.
Yes.
Obviously, last week we saw Damage Control
yet
again, unstoppable as they are, beating down not just Bayley now,
yeah,
but Naomi. Can anyone stop them?
Damage Katara?
Mm.
Well, I believe that Bayley and Naomi are looking for a partner.
Mm-hmm.
They're obviously, the numbers game is at a bit of a disadvantage at the moment, so they could do with somebody. I think you know who I'm talking about. A celebrated wrestling champion. Names begins with B. That's right, Bill Goldberg is coming out tonight to enact revenge on Asuka.
Sorry, what's her name?
Asuka.
What a dumbass.
That girl that took my streak, or whatever the free... No, I'm being facetious. But listen to the news, wherever you get your news... audio/video for me and Wilborn's longer form takes this. No, Asuka being injured does throw a bit of a spanner in the works.
I forgot about that part.
So we don't know exactly how she is, but you could see it didn't look great last week. And then the reports midweek that it's all still a bit open ended. Either way, 1, 2, 3, 4.
Let me hear you scream if you want some more. Push it, watch me work it. I'm perfect. Perfection. put our heads on the bodies from that video if you want, Brian.
Yeah, please go for that.
Be some fun research.
The artist formerly known as Prince Superstars.
Two Prince Superstars.
Done it. Well, everyone's looking for a princess right now, aren't they? So you've got two right here.
And everyone's looking for a buzz and for a pillow, so. What are we talking about?
I don't know anymore. What are you going to look
Bianca
like?
Bianca Belair.
What are you going to look like with a chimney on? That's what I want to know.
That was on the car as I was driving.
Was it really?
Yeah, yeah. Da-da-da, da-da-da,
da-da-da. Right, back to business. Bianca Belair doesn't want to help. Justifiably so. Damage guitar are garbage to her for about a year. Absolutely
Bayley
fine.
In particular.
Put her out injured as a shoot. No, it's fine. This is exactly how this storyline should go. Bayley's
a huge pap when she makes the save as well, isn't it?
I was critical of... I love Bayley. I thought the Dakota Kai match last week was a little bit of a pocket rocket that ultimately had to fizzle because of the finish. But the action...
Oh, wow.
...in spells was good, right? Dakota Kai was all the way back, and that was nice to see. But Bayley's babyface turn and this story in general just feels a little bit lightweight. I think because it's missed... Bayley really atoning for her sins as a babyface. She came out last week to a heel music, slapping fives, and it was lovely, but you're like, there's still a way to go here. And I'm not just talking about the side pony in the music and hashtag paramorphomania. I'm talking about the feeling.
Mm.
I want... Bayley did that sit-down promo where she was like, I was looking to get attention. I did things the wrong way, but it came from a good place. Pure heart rule.
Yes.
Taking away fans. I wanted to help Io and Dakota. That was the good thing. The bad kind of overwhelmed it. Made some poor choices in my life. Bianca forcing Bayley to confront those poor choices and be like, if I'm going to help you, you really need to look deep into my eyes and realise the pain and hurt you caused. And I think that's going to be Bailey's last bit of redemption. I think that's maybe what they've tapped into here is I think the missing ingredient in what's going to get Bailey all the way back as this babyface. Kind of, she's not an underdog, she's a veteran. But she has to be cast as an underdog because of Damage Control's numerical advantage. So I think this Bianca ingredient could work very well. And I expect tonight is the night where you do... There's nothing booked, is there?
Nothing booked, but I've got an idea.
Go on.
It's ridiculous as well because obviously packed house. I'll have a look in a second on WrestleTix where they are tonight. So therefore the people will be able to see this, but doesn't matter. Stay with me. Wrestling on the show, and you know, I can have too much of a good thing. Mm-hmm. There's a minimum of 3 matches on here.
Slow down.
How about Damage Control on Ding Dong Hello WrestleMania edition?
Ooh, yes.
And Naomi's there just to make sure because she knows exactly what happens normally when you get there with that.
Yeah.
Damage Control, go back and forth about that. You're not going to beat EO. Da 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 da. And Bailey says, WrestleMania, you're going to lose that title. And Damage Control are also going to lose the tag team titles. I'm like, what are you talking about? We're not even fighting. Well, says Bailey, I spoke to the SmackDown GM, can't remember what his name is. And I've got a match confirmed. It will be Naomi challenging you for the women's tag team titles. And they go, Naomi? In a handicap match, we'll kick her ass. I don't care how flashy her hair is or her boots or a snazzy coat that she wears or whatever or the weird new song that's not as good as the last one. And at that moment, they go, she's going to get someone to tag with her? Who is even going to tag with that? Ding dong. The door opens and Bianca Belair's been stood there the whole time. Like I say, everyone in the whole world, half of the arena could see Bianca Belair just stood there.
Better, if I may. Ding dong, door opens. This is like Jade Cargill's proper debut. And we all remember where we were when Jade Cargill walked through a door in the middle of the ring.
Door,
and stood there for 10 minutes while they talked to each other.
I think the way they're going to do it now, I've pivoted. I don't think Jade's going to be Naomi's partner. I think he is going to be Bianca and Naomi. But there's 3 people that aren't Io Sky in Damage Control.
Yeah.
And it arguably could still work, like I say, with Asuka, and we wish her well in her injury. Hope she's all right. Fingers crossed.
Dakota,
we'll get up
they could do Freebird rule with the belts.
Dakota, if necessary, Dakota and Kairi, good back and forth. You know it's going to be class because of the 4 people that would be involved in it, particularly Bianca Belair, who never fails on the big stage. Midway through the match, oh no, Naomi or Bianca have been misted. It's almost like they're at a numbers disadvantage and Jade gets the run in with
yes.
Then you get a best of both worlds, effectively.
Do you know what's a nice bit of lore there as well? Oh, this is happening. Right in blood on a wall, it's so definitely happening.
Tweet now, about it, claim it's your take.
You know how at the Royal Rumble, where they did Bianca Belair and Jade Cargill's mirroring spots.
Uh-huh.
And it was like, there's another one of me and we're going to have to kick each other's ass one day. How, pop quiz, hachiat, how did Bianca Belair debut on the WWE main roster?
God, I can't remember.
A WrestleMania run-in supporting the Street Profits.
They
took on Zelina Vega's worst stable of all time. And she came out and dealt with Vega, and then the Street Profits held her off. It was in the Performance Center. It was really, really sad. But it was great to have Bianca there. And it's like, Jade's landing WWE the exact same way you did. Just like at the Royal Rumble, she had the exact same chances and strength and ability that you did. This is inevitable. It's going to be goated. And everybody's going to go nuts.
As of 2 days ago,
mm-hmm.
42 tickets still available for this show.
Oh, act fast. Where is it?
Milwaukee, the Pfizer Forum.
Hang on. Pfizer, as in the legends that got us all out of the house.
No.
That's a shame.
This will be the 5th consecutive sellout of SmackDown.
Train just keeps on rolling, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Train just keeps on rolling.
Finally... Mm-hmm. There's a really interesting report from, I believe, WrestleVotes earlier on this week. Saying that the indication from sources suggests we'll see up to four more WrestleMania matches announced for the event.
That's four more graphics, Wilborn. The stuff that actually matters.
As of now, the working plan is to feature seven matches per night on the main card.
Good, like that.
Put anything on the kickoff nowadays, which is, I'm kind of fine with it. They might put an Andre the Giant on there.
Well, it's the one gig attempt at DJing that Nick Khan's nephew gets each year, isn't it?
So right now, we've got 10 matches, I believe, on the Mania card. Let me just run you through them. Bloodline versus Cody Rhodes and Seth freaking Rollins on night one.
Wait a second. Like, let me just see if I can... You can speak over me when I've got my levels right.
You watch me when you want me to sleep. Around so I can breathe.
Go on, you can start going through the car.
Seth Rollins versus Drew McIntyre for the World Heavyweight Championship on night two. And Roman versus Cody for the Undisputed WWE Universal Championship on night two as well. In terms of matches that don't have a night announced, Io versus Bayley, Rhea versus Becky, Gunther versus Sammy, the six-pack ladder match.
Oh my God.
Like they just made a random ladder match in there. AJ Styles versus LA. No.
Yeah.
Jay versus Jimmy, Logan Paul versus Randy Orton and Kevin Owens. Oh, sorry, versus Randy Orton versus Kevin Owens.
I can breathe.
So we've got potentially, so we've got four more matches potentially to add to that.
Yeah.
Let's presume LWO and Legado stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Let's presume this women's tag titles.
Yep.
Two more then potentially being added to that. Maybe the Andre, maybe a women's battle royal.
Yeah.
Both. Maybe Pretty Deadly being added as a host, yes, maybe.
And that's not a match, so we can get that as a freebie.
Yeah.
Can we play a game? How about we pick a wrestler each.
Go on.
From the main roster that we want to fight at WrestleMania. And then we use the game to pick a legend.
Okay.
So, like, you're at the wheel here. So, for example, I would imagine you really want Tiffany Stratton to get on the card, right?
Ooh, yes, I didn't think of that.
Right. So Tiffany Stratton versus...
A legend. Oh, I like that as a match.
Yeah, and then we'll try and think of somebody on the main roster that currently feels a bit out of the picture a little bit, and we'll match them. And then we've got two old versus new type deals, yeah?
Okay.
So we'll do Tiffany Stratton's opponent first.
Okay, I'm scrolling through the Legends page.
Pro Evo rules?
Pro Evo rules. I'll keep it to just women opponents, obviously. Yep. Tell me when to stop, and I'll give you the amount of people I've got in front of me.
Stop.
Well, there's no women there.
Stop.
That's not going to work. That's Saray and Sasha Banks.
Stop.
Okay. One or two.
I will not do Pro Evo rules. This is going to be it, because otherwise it'll get too difficult. Tiffany Stratton, WrestleMania versus opponent number two.
Rosa Mendez.
Oh, twist. Opponent number one.
Ronda Rousey.
Booked. Brilliant. Right. That's why she's been doing all this sort of anti-WWE rhetoric in the press.
Let's see if I can find another one. Stop. I've got my eyes clutched. Stop.
Stop.
No women there. Stop. Eve Torres.
Ronda Rousey is. Tiffany Stratton versus Ronda Rousey. Let us be the first podcast to announce that.
Mm.
You can have that one if you want, Sean Ross Sapp and all the rest of the guys. Right, let's do one from the men's division.
Okay.
Who on the main roster currently do you feel belongs in a match? Not Pretty Deadly in the host spot.
Chad Gable.
Love it. Yes, right. Chad Gable fighting a legend. It's going to end up being one of the matches of the night.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll do Pro Evo rules again, because I have a feeling, WWE, that you'll stumble across a few more men than women on your scroll down this time. Stop.
Oh, pick a number between 1 and 8.
Oh, 7.
I will say, if you pick 4, you'd have had Scott Steiner.
Oh, my God.
Pick 6, you'd have had Shane Douglas, but he's busy.
Oh, God, he's one of the wrestlers I'm most excited about.
But you pick 7, so you've got Shanky. Shanky versus Shorty.
Oh, my God.
We'll do a different
twist.
One.
Shanky G. Stop.
Pick a number between 1 and 8.
6.
Well, that's not going to work. He's working in
5.
Riddick Moss.
Ah. Are you crushing a medkit?
6 was Rip Fowler, a.k.a. Robbie Fowler, a.k.a. Zach Gibson.
Okay.
Bit busy.
Right. This is it now. Chad Gable's opponent has been confirmed, because there's no twist left.
Mm-hmm.
As number, whatever you're on, 4.
Oh, hang on. Oh, that doesn't work. Wait a second. I'll try and make it. Tell me when to stop.
Stop.
Pick a number between... Oh, no, I'm not doing that level, actually. Pick a number between Okay. 1, 2, 3. Let me screen you on somewhere. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. No, can't be you.
4, 6, 7.
Brilliant. So obviously, unfortunately, some people in the legend section are no longer with us, so I'll only use it as that.
Who is it?
You booked this.
I booked this. Make the graphic. Oh my God. Brian, scrap the other orders. If you can make a WrestleMania graphic akin to what the current ones look like with the green and the Philadelphia and all that, of Chad Gable's face on one side and on the other, and you say the face of...
Right. I want a moving graphic for this. And Not from Brian. I mean, from WWE.
Of course,
it's a mystery opponent,
right?
You just see the silhouette,
yeah,
jumping around doing whatever, right? By the way, if you'd said three, you'd have got Ken Shamrock.
Oh my God!
But Chad gave one side, you know, doing his little. I'm looking. I'm gonna beat you, bugger. And you don't until the night. We don't realize this. I'm standing up, ladies and gentlemen, in case it sounds weird. And this silhouette back to the camera.
Yeah.
Turns round, Hanfler, and just goes, "Hey, Kenny!" Kenny from the Spirit Squad.
Perfect. Chad Gable versus...
Alpha Academy versus all of the Spirit Squad would be fun.
Booked. Alpha Academy versus Spirit Squad and Tiffany Stratton versus Ronda Rousey. Two huge matches.
Okay.
That's the WrestleMania card fleshed out. We got there.
Tick, tick, mother flipping tick.
That's right.
So let us know your thoughts ahead of SmackDown tonight. We cannot wait on X at WhatCultureWWE. Watch there, you can follow both of us. You can follow Michael Hanfler at
Michael Hanfler.
Follow me at Adam Wilborn. Follow us all at WhatCultureWWE. Make sure you subscribe to WhatCulture Wrestling, wherever you get your podcasts from, for daily wrestling podcasts. Me and Hanfler, of course, will be back on Monday to review this show. And that show being, of course, SmackDown, featuring Roman Reigns and Cody Rhodes face to face. WrestleMania qualifiers, the OC versus A-10, Dan Ander and Street Profits versus AOP, Rey Mysterio versus Santos Escobar, potentially more Mania matches being added, and can anyone stop Damage Control?
The penultimate SmackDown preview before WrestleMania. It's got all this and so much more.
Thanks for joining us. We'll see you on Monday.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc. Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.